Praise the Lord. Wow. Just that thought of that possibility of being almost home. What will it take for everyone here this morning to go home together? That's Jesus Christ and Him alone. It's good to be here this morning. I appreciate our worship time. Welcome to all the visitors. We're glad to have you here. It's good to be back again from doing some traveling this week, being out in Ohio for a few days with the different pastors, ministers from different states. But just spending that time together and I just thank God for those times. I missed the fellowship meetings that we didn't attend this year, and it just seemed like something was missing. Something wasn't quite fulfilled. I love being with the people of God, but anyway, it's good to be back here this morning, and I do count it a privilege to be here again. In some ways, it feels like I need to do a reset this morning in a lot of ways, I guess. A lot has happened this past week with the traveling and just some joys, some griefs. A cousin of mine lost their daughter, went home to be with Jesus. You know, just all those things in 1 week's time. And so it just seems like I have more of appreciation to be with you all this morning and to be able to reset. So may God be with us this morning. I'm going to try to not let the message go too long. We have Alvin with us from Colorado this morning. Love to hear from you, brother. We've been praying for you, your family. And I know God is doing great things in your life. So I'd love to hear from you toward the end then. Let's pray yet. I'm going to go into a message here called We Are Called with an Holy Calling. And some of this comes out of the ministers' meetings. Phil was sharing with us more from the perspective of encouraging us, exhorting us to be leaders, more from that perspective. So I do draw from his notes some. And really our goal is to come back. I know one of you ask is, are we not going to come back and share with you what we learned? We intend to. That is our goal, and we intend to do that because I feel like the presence of God was there and he spoke to us, and we do want to carry that back to the churches. So some of my notes are from what Phil was sharing with us, but it comes more from the perspective of for the people of God, and more specifically those who are redeemed this morning, those who have given their lives to Jesus Christ. And if you are not born again this morning, I will say with confidence, you can be. Jesus Christ, there's no limitations to him this morning. He will redeem every soul that calls out to him. And all you have to do is call out on him and put your faith in Jesus Christ. And he will redeem you. That old rugged cross we sang about, that's very dear and real to me. But in some ways, when I think of that cross, it's also, there's thoughts of pain, of crossing into, but boy, it's worth it. It is so worth it to walk with Jesus. And one of the ministers shared with us about the cross. He said, that's where the victories are won. That's where, that's where things are released. That's where we get set free. But then on the other side of that cross, there's one that he's given to us, and that's called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is there to empower us to live a Christian life, empower us to live above sin. And that's was really encouraging for me to hear that there is one that God has given to us beyond the cross. The cross has a great significance. The blood of Jesus has great significance. But beyond that, we walk through that. Then the Holy Spirit fills us with his presence. And then we can be aware of our surroundings. We can be aware of where we are and what we're doing. And so let's be encouraged this morning with that. We are called with an holy calling. Father, we just thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for just meeting our needs this past week. And as we do a reset this morning, just a deep breath of fresh air, in one sense, we just ask that you put our hearts at rest. Help us to be just at rest here, enjoying your presence. Lord, we do thank you for the body of Christ, for the beautiful people of God that love you and adore you. Just thinking of our short fellowship time of greeting each other this morning, it's just erupted praise of visiting and fellowshipping with each other. And it's all because of you, Jesus. So we thank you for that. Be with us as we open your word this morning. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Just ask, Lord, that you would anoint my lips. Father, we just pray that you would, everything that I have to say would be because of you. So just surrender myself, my heart, my mind, my tongue to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn with each other to 2 Timothy 1. I'm going to be mostly in that chapter. And then also I have some other references. But just looking at the being called out. And my goal this morning in sharing is to help us realize the value that we have to our Lord. We have great value. We have great value. And then secondly, we can know the position, or we can know the position we have in the Lord. We can know that through the scriptures, and we can position ourselves for effective ministry, effective walking with him in the kingdom of God. Last Sunday I was visiting, before we go into 2 Timothy 1 there, last Sunday I was visiting with one of you, and you said, in some ways, when there's obedience to the Lord, when there's a following the Lord and you make decisions to follow the Lord, and which, by the way, I love to see that, and I love what happens in my own life when I do that. Do you understand? I love to see God move in people's lives. That makes everything worth it. And so one of you was sharing, it seems like when I make decisions for the Lord, it would look to people that are not following the Lord, or that are just okay with being complacent, it would look to them like I'm going away from, going back, or leaving the things that I'm currently comfortable with. But you said, in my heart, this is what the person told me last Sunday I was visiting with him, in my heart, I know I'm going toward. And that's the beauty of following Jesus, is when you, it may look foolish to others, but when you go forward in that, you're going toward. And that's the calling that we have, is to draw close to God, to draw close to him, to continue to pursue him, make him the pursuit and the highest priority of our lives. And so let's go toward Jesus this morning and to make him known. 2 Timothy, just want to look at 9 and 10 there, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. A couple other references, you don't have to turn there, is 2 Peter 1 and 10, just looking at the calling. He says, wherefore rather, brethren, give diligence, make it urgent, to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Listen to what he says about the call. Ephesians 1 and 18 says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Philippians 3:15, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. Here he calls it a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 3:1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. And then again in Ephesians 4:4, there is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. What a sacred calling we have this morning. And just to put that in perspective, is that is our position. When we are in Christ, that is our position. That call is upon our lives. It's just a matter of us fulfilling that call. And in this morning, I just want to encourage us in that call. And ultimately, if you sum it up, it's to make Christ known. First in my life, and then to others around us. Because like we were singing, we're almost home. We're just about home. And there's a work to be done. And if that doesn't cause us to an urgency in our heart, you pray about that. Because when we pray and we recognize that we're almost home, it puts an urgency in our heart to make Jesus known. Again, first in our own lives, a further commitment in our own lives, then in the lives of others who have not yet come into the kingdom. Let's look at, start in verse 1 there in 2 Timothy. We're going to go all the way up to 10. That's what I had there for now. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace and mercy and peace from God our Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I might be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And he says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. I'll just stop there. I read the other two verses earlier, but we see in verse, Paul's addressing the, he starts out there with just putting it in the right perspective of to Timothy, the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. The promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. And then in moving up to one, up further, verse 5, he gives that confidence. Then I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Could someone say that about me? Could someone say that about you? The unfeigned faith, that torch that you carry, the gospel, the faith that you carry, do our children see it in us? Will it carry on? Will it go on in its proper perspective? Will it be carried on? Is my faith found faithful? Is my faith in Christ found faithful like it was in his grandmother, Lois, and in his mother, Eunice? These are ladies that just simply walked out their life before God. And I don't know that you mothers, I want to encourage you this morning, and daughters, whoever you are this morning, your faith makes a difference in the body of Christ. Your walk makes a difference. The way you teach, train, support your husband makes a difference in the body of Christ. It is tremendous, the faith that people see in your lives. In fact, I marvel at the anointing that can be there. Speaking of seeing the Holy Spirit work in people's lives, your faith as a mother can make a tremendous difference in the body of Christ. I say that out of a testimony. I remember a few people in my life so far. I look back, and it's that journey that husband and wife was making together, and I could watch them, and it increased my faith. It encouraged me. So never underestimate washing dishes and all those things that go with housekeeping. Those things are very important in the body of Christ as you live out your faith. And I marvel at the way my mom used to spend time with us, the way she used to just be ready anytime to just talk. In fact, she was more ready than I was. And that's unfortunate. I regret that. But she was more ready to talk than I was. I didn't want anything to do with it because I was a rebellious teenager. But you mothers, I marvel at my wife. She's, when I get tired, I get tired. And I can tend to shut down quickly, meaning make a short conversation. My wife is the opposite. She gets charged up doing that. And I'm thankful for that. Late at night. So God bless you, mothers, for displaying your faith in that way. And so there was an unfeigned faith that dwelt there. We see that in verse 5. And just confirming that faith and confidence. Verse 6, it's talking about, let's stir that to remembrance, that testimony, which stirs up the gift of God. I mentioned already, I missed the fellowship meetings. And one of those things is just stirring up the gifts in each other. It is so much fun to hear what is going on in another person's life. And that stirs something within me and keeps me from getting complacent or dry. And then you press in toward that. And it's just such a blessing to hear those testimonies. So let's stir up the gifts in one another. Let me just say this. You hear the testimony, and then that stirs up the gift. The gift that God has put in within each one of us will be stirred to operate when it's done God's way. Never condemn yourself or even think that you don't have a gift that God didn't give you. He implanted a gift in each one of us that is for a purpose, and it is to be used by God for this generation. It doesn't matter how quiet you are. It doesn't matter how fussy you are. It doesn't matter what shape you are. God put a gift within each one of us for us to operate in. And you don't have to drum it up of yourselves. It's given to us by the Holy Spirit. It's given to us. Let that gift come through each one of us. And may God use us in this time, this end time. He's called us to walk holy. Then he gives us the gifts that he desires for us. Now, verse 7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. So he's given us the ability, I should say, to... Phil put it this way. He said, he's given us the power to cope. Is there anything this week that you just felt you had to cope with? You had to cope with it. And some of that is, you could explain it different ways. Some of that is just simply carrying a burden, possibly. Possibly there's something heavy that I don't know that I can carry by myself. He's given us the power to cope. He puts a power within us that helps us to get through. It's amazing. It's amazing how merciful our God is. I marvel this morning, and I know there's testimonies. I would love to just open it up. I know there's testimonies of God's grace this week in each of your lives that you saw him move, and you saw him sustain you through something. And I'm so thankful. thankful that we have that avenue. We have that to draw from, the power to cope, the power to shoulder back-breaking loads. And when we need to stand against the enemy in times where we just want to retreat. Have you ever felt that? When it just seems like, I don't know if it's worth it anymore. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if it's worth it to fight. And then God comes through. You pray and God comes through. He says in Ephesians, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, the power to remain. The power to remain faithful. Faithful. And the power to stand. And then there's a fear. How would you say? When there's a fear that it seems almost impossible to stand. I haven't felt that for a while. The last time I really felt it was on our way home from Jordan. Sounds crazy, but the last time I really felt that gripping fear, and then I just had to say, Lord, you're in control. But anyway, we were flying up across the northern part of the globe, and we hit some turbulence, and it was really, really bad. There was a lady beside me. She was going beside herself. And watching her, somehow it gripped me. It's like, wow, we could go down here. And I'm thinking, you know, this is the icy waters where the Titanic went down. I'm thinking, there's no chance for us. Like, when we go down, we're going in the water. But anyway, there's no land around. So I just prayed. I started praying for this lady. And she was really, really gripped by fear. Why am I sharing this? It was a real fear in here. But as I started to pray, I just realized that, you know what? If we go down, I'm at rest. I'm at rest. I know I'm going to be instantly with Jesus if we go down. And all of a sudden, a peace just came. And that's one way we can stand. There's other ways we can stand, but there are ways we can just eliminate and resist the devil and not entertain the fear in our lives. So little children, if there's ever fear comes into your lives, go to dad and mom. You can also pray. You can ask Jesus to help you when you're awake at night or whatever you're doing. But there is a way we can stand with Jesus in those times. He has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, a sound mind. Speaking of the enemy, his goal, you know, just if I would have entertained that some more, it could have got worse in here, the stirring. And this is just one little area. You probably have a better area to explain or expound on, but I remember that was my last time that I really got a fear. Samuel Lapp from Colorado was telling a story about their Walmart in the area there. And I just want to make a point here with this story to the enemy taking and destroying things. And that's what his goal is. But there's a Walmart in Trinidad. And if I think I can get this straight there, they have a big problem with theft. And so they have this thing called, in the company called shrinkage, where it's measured, every month it's measured what merchandise wasn't recorded, if I have this right. And the number 1 month was over $2 million was stolen from the Walmart. Now, I really had to ask Samuel, is that per year? And he said, no, that's per month. Now, the average is more like maybe a little over $1 million. And he sat there in the parking lot, and he just thought to himself, is that a picture of sometimes when we don't take a stand? Okay, there's police there. Somebody walks out with merchandise to have the evidence that they actually stole it. So the police don't do that much about it sometimes. And the people walk off and they return it to another Walmart an hour away or whatever. And you think, well, why wouldn't they stop them? Why wouldn't they do something about this? I mean, that is a lot of merchandise to be stolen from any given store. And when you add it all up, it's like, why isn't somebody doing something about this? Why are they just sitting there? Why? They know it's walking off. There it goes. And you're talking probably from big screen TVs to, I don't know what they steal in the yards. And as Samuel talked about it, he said, could it be sometimes in our lives we watch the enemy just take things away from our life? And we just sit there and we're okay with it. Why don't we do something about it? Why don't we stand? And one of those tools is just to resist the devil in our own lives first. If there's sin in our life, resist him. It sounds like works, but let's trust God that after we resist him, the works of God will soon begin to work through us. And it has a sanctifying effect in us, and we get delivered. But let's not just watch while the devil walks all over us and tempts us into all sorts of things. Let's not just watch the enemy steal our children away. Why won't we do something about it? And I act like I'm talking to you. I'm talking to myself. But I really want to encourage us in that. Let's take a stand. Let's stand for truth, the truths of God. Don't let the enemy walk all over you and cause you to be confused and disillusioned with life. He has a way to walk, and that path is clear, and there's much clarity there. Men, stand in humility. Men that are called by God, stand. God gives us something precious. He commits that thing to me. We'll see that later. So I'm accountable for what he has committed to me. And the calling that we're talking about is precious to God. Loves when we walk in that. I love to see when someone begins to walk out their Christian life before God, then after a while you can see the blessing of God in their lives. It just happens. I have seen many times it happened in our own life. We came to Jesus. We had this come to Jesus moment. And after a while, God started putting his finger on stuff in our lives. Guess where the first place was? Well, in our hearts was the first place. Guess where the tangible area was that God began to clean up? All of a sudden, we saw things in our house that wasn't pleasing to the Lord. It could be anything from movies, DVDs, things that didn't honor God, things that didn't bring glory to God. And one of the most challenging things was for me was when one of our children was sick for about a year and a half, had a rash, and we didn't get much sleep that year and a half. And I decided I'm going to do a 7-day fast. And I went on the fast about the fourth day. You talk about the enemy trying to distract me. It got really intense at home. It got really so intense, my wife called me and she said, I don't know what to do, but there is something not right at home here. I said, okay, I'll be home. And, you know, you don't know what to do at those times. You're at loss. There's things that you wish you would know how to lead in these situations. But on the way home, I felt like the Holy Spirit gave me direction. And it was just simply this. Go home, and whatever in your home is not pleasing to God, get rid of it. I told my wife when I got home, it seemed foolish. It didn't seem like it had anything to do with what we were trying to manage. And we and the children, we got trash bags, and we went through the house from top to bottom, and we threw stuff out. I mean, it was everything from hunting stuff that didn't bring glory to God. We threw it out. And by the end of our little endeavor there, we had four trash bags full. And we gathered the family and knelt in the middle of the living room floor. I anointed my family. And I just, in my mind, I had enough. It was time to stand. It was time to take a stand and believe God. It was enough. And from there on out, there was a peace and a joy in the family. I'm not saying he got healed, but I started to realize that the enemy had a foothold somewhere. He had a foothold. And it may be different for all of you. I don't know where you are this morning. But I would encourage you, if there's things in your home that don't honor God, get rid of it. It's worth it. And it's been that way through the years. You know, I talked about a reset physically after this week. Every once in a while, it seems like we got to do a reset. Oh my, there's things that we stood for 4 years ago. Why is that in our home? How did it find its way in here? And I don't know why I got on this, but I guess it is part of our calling. Especially us fathers, it's part of our calling to protect. It's not going to seem or feel good, especially if you have older children. But I want to encourage us. It's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. Men are called for leadership. And it'll only get more precious as we obey him. And I don't know, this morning again, I share that story with you. It was one experience in our lives. I don't know where you are this morning, but trust God. Trust God in the leading of his Holy Spirit. But a call to steadfastness, a call to faithfulness. I think there's a big need for that as we function in the end time church. Faithfulness and steadfastness, but a call to be faithful to God. Okay. And of a sound mind, he says. Of love and a sound mind. Self-discipline. Control of oneself in the face of panic and not doing irrational things was the definition. Control of oneself in the face of panic and not doing irrational things. You know, one of those things that I usually tell young couples, when you're making a lot of decisions, there's just all kinds of emotions and there's just things that you're going through. Okay, we make some decisions and we begin to walk that out. But then at some point, if there's any major decisions and you're in the middle of it all, maybe it's the time to just wait and stand and pray and ask God for further direction, because you will at times make wrong decisions if you make them too fast. And I'm talking about major changes in your life. Coming to the Lord and giving your life to the Lord, never stop there. But I'm talking about more things we see. Where should I live? What should I do? What's my job? Where should I work? All those things. Maybe it's just time to wait on the Lord as you make decisions. But there's a call to the sound mind. Fear can keep us from thinking soundly, keeping ourselves from being overwhelmed. Not fear, but a sound mind. And then there's also the one of love. Our goal as Christians is to be constantly striving to walk as God loves us, not in the spirit of fear, but of love. One thing that can drown out love is frustration. And I'm the first to admit there are times when there's frustration that enters my heart and my mind. And I know it's not right. I've asked myself the question already. I think I may have heard a message on this one time. And the question was asked, is there such a thing as frustrated Christians? And we all know what our own frustration feels like. But I would encourage us this morning is cover that, embrace the love of God. But that can drown out, frustration can drown out love. When there's a divine nature, love is seen and felt. Love the people around you. Walk with them. Disciple them in truth and love. Love will carry the truth. I mentioned this a little bit to the ladies, but love will help shape your life and the lives of others. And I'm not saying that sometimes love doesn't look as nice as we'd like it to. When sometimes the best thing in love, in loving the Lord, is making a hard decision, right? Just simply making a hard choice. And it may not always be pleasing to other people, but we serve God rather than man, right? So make hard choices for the Lord Jesus. Love will help shape that because God is love. So we see the qualities in verse 7, the qualities of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Verse 8, he says, be partakers of the affliction according to the power of God. Phil mentioned to us, he said, and he's challenging us leaders. I really appreciated the environment there. The theme really is to grow as leaders, and we were challenged. But one thing he mentioned there that I wrote down is we must pass the breaking point and not break. We must pass the breaking point and not break. And so you find yourself in a situation where you have no answers and you just, okay, Lord, I have nothing to offer to this situation, but you have everything to offer. You are all wisdom. And then he gives us strength. But to not get discouraged beyond that breaking point, not get frustrated beyond that breaking point, but land on that rock of Jesus Christ. Verse 9, through the power of God, he saved us and he called us with a holy calling, which is what we're talking about this morning. Not according to our works, it says, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And so when your life is prefaced and displayed by Christ, why would we want our own righteousness or works? Why would we even want that? Why would we want to operate out of our own righteousness? I guess the real question I had to ask myself is, why do I then? Why do I then sometimes work out of my own righteousness or works? And again, it's the works of God that brings grace into our lives. And Paul is saying he has called us and saved us according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us by Christ Jesus. That's the purpose and the grace. Jumping ahead to verse 13 and 14, he says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to say, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. And so that valuable thing, that precious thing, he's given to us. And he's able to keep that. The verse before that, he's able to keep that which he's committed to us. Amazing. Amazing. When you really think about it, God gave us, according to his own purpose and grace, he gave us Christ, the God of the universe, loves us to the point where he cares about each one of us sitting here this morning. And not only us, but those across the globe. When you just think about that, the whole world, and God cares about you enough to help you every day of your life to live a godly, holy life that he's called you to. Praise God. So would we give a good thing or a valuable thing or a precious thing to someone we don't trust? No, we wouldn't. We would not. God gave us, as we put our trust in Him, He gives us those things. He has grace, love, and mercy for us. But when we give ourselves further to Him, He entrusts us with even more. And that's how it's going to be for us here. As we give Him more of our life, He's going to entrust you with more, Elmer. He gives you something that you couldn't carry before. But as you committed to Him, as you commit to Him, He'll give you even more. And that's how it is for every one of us. He'll give you even more to carry. You can stay at the same place all your life. But that is not the life it's talking about in the Scriptures. We want the overcoming abundant life. Amen? We want to walk beyond where we are walking today. And that simply happens by giving ourselves more to the Lord and making it a holy calling and fostering that relationship. God is trusting us to carry out the good thing and hold fast, staying faithful in keeping that which He's given to us, that which was deposited in us when we were born again by the Holy Spirit. And out of that commitment, God commits things to us. And verse 12, He is able to keep what we committed to Him. He is able to keep us in love, in power, and in a sound mind. And He's able to sustain us in our Christian walk. He's able to keep our families. He's able to keep our marriages. He's able to keep all relationships as we walk with Him. Doesn't mean they're all going to turn out like I would want them to, possibly. But make it your goal that you're not responsible for burning any bridges. Make it your goal. Let's say that again. Make it your goal in relationships that you're not responsible for burning a bridge. Doesn't mean when you stand for truth, the relationship is not where it was. That's okay. But you need to stand for truth. You need to walk with God. But make it your goal to always honor and respect and not burn that bridge. I committed that to the Lord when we stepped out of the church where we were in 2007. I said, I don't want to be responsible for any bridges that are burnt because I may just need them someday back again. That may be my path over to whoever it is. That may be my path to my parents or whoever it is. I want those bridges in place. They may not be traveled like they were at one time, but God help me to travel those again. And so be careful with your heart and your tongue in those times and trust God. Okay, where were we here? All right. He's able to keep our families, our marriages, relationships till the day we are with Him. I think I'm going to just wrap it up to give the others opportunity here. A couple more notes here. This good thing is something valuable for safekeeping. This is the call and the will of God. And Paul sums it up toward the end of his letter here. If you look forward to chapter 4, he says, I have fought, verse 7 and 8, I have fought a good fight. Wow. You recognize Paul's life and where he was and how he used to go after he used to pursue the Christians and bring them to a place where he would take their lives because of their testimony. And now he's in the opposite place serving Christ, and he's saying, I've fought a good fight. He fought from a different platform, from a different kingdom, the kingdom of God. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. And I've kept the faith. Three powerful efforts. If that's the only thing you get out of this morning, take that home. Fight the good fight of faith. Finish your course with courage and keep the faith in Jesus Christ. Keep that faith. Philippians 3, 13 and 14, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me, reaching forth into those things which are before." I think in essence, that's what I'm encouraging this morning is, reach beyond where you are today and trust God because of the calling that's on your life. He says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. So we have a holy calling. We are called with a holy calling. And through that, I think the body of Christ will prosper. It will flourish. We are, how would I say, I'm so thankful to be a part of this body. I'm so thankful to be a part of the universal body, the church, the global church. But in a lot of ways, I'm unsatisfied. And when I say that, there's more that God has for us. When you look at the book of Revelation, there's much more that God has for us. And I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that excitement. So let's strive together to make it a holy calling. Not just a calling, but a holy calling. Watch what you do in your life. Watch what you see and what you do and the things that you're doing. And do an evaluation. Is it holy? If it's not, it's your choice to make it holy. God will bless it if it lines up with this. If it lines up with the Word, God will bless that. Sounds too simple, but let's encourage each other in our faith. Father, we just thank you this morning for your love. Thank you for the fear of God. Thank you, Lord, that our hearts can be stirred this morning through your Word. Lord, I pray that you would continue to guide us, direct us, help us to stand, help us to take action when it's needed, and help us to stand against the enemy. But even furthermore, reach toward the prize of the high calling. Just serve Christ and make it our highest priority to make him known, first to our families and then to those around us who have not yet come into the kingdom. Oh God, I pray, Father, that you would continue to help us and guide us. We just commit our time and our service to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll turn the time over to John Omar.